Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. A lot of great stuff to get to today with former Michigan State offensive lineman, former NFL offensive lineman. He was a second lieutenant in the Marines, served in Afghanistan. But right now he is serving as a state representative and introduced a bill last year to allow amateur athletes to get paid off of their likeness, and that is a 3-year starter for the Spartans and former captain Joe Tate. Joe's going to be with us here momentarily. We're going to be talking about his bill that he introduced, like I said, to allow amateur athletes to get paid off their likeness, plus a little bit of Ken Manny. That was something that me and Jeremy, we haven't really discussed over the past couple months. I feel like that was kind of overshadowed with the interesting hiring process of Michigan State in regards to Mel Tucker and the somewhat immediate dismissal or retirement of Mark D'Antonio. And so we'll break that down and what Ken Manny meant to the program, because Manny was here for a very long time, started with Saban, and I believe that Joe is with us now. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, thank you again for coming on to discuss your bill that you introduced last year. I was getting ready to tell everybody this show isn't really, like, we kind of pride ourselves on not talking politics, but this is probably the closest that we're going to get, and so we really appreciate this.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm excited to be here and talk about it, and we don't really need to delve into politics, I think, with this particular piece of legislation.
As you say the phrase "piece of legislation," I already feel I'm out of my wheelhouse. So I know California kind of introduced this, and there was a lot of talk. You know, we'll just kick USC and UCLA out of the NCAA, and I know Florida just recently passed as well, and now obviously, you know, there's talks about South Carolina, a little bit coming out of Michigan. Obviously you are responsible for that. I know you introduced it last year, and these things take time, but where is the bill in the process, and you know, when should we hear a little bit more about this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, it's a two bill package around the name, image, and likeness. And this was recently passed out of the House. It was introduced, as you said, last year, but recently passed out of the House, I want to say last month. And it's a package that's sponsored by myself and Representative Brent Iden. And so right now it's sitting in the Senate. And right now the next steps is the Senate goes through their deliberation process. And hopefully we will have some movement sometime this year. And if the Senate decides to support it and move forward with it, then it would come back. It would get voted out of the Senate and move to the governor's desk for signature.
I know that. Well, I think one of the more interesting things, like I said, is, you know, how the NCAA is going to handle this. And I know they voted in October to approve paying players for their likeness. What role will they eventually have in this? And, I mean, is there going to be any communication among these states that are currently passing these bills and having their governors sign off on them? Is there going to be any communication between the states and the NCAA?
I think there has to be. I think when you do look at the makeup of the NCAA, the makeup of the body are the university and college presidents. So obviously in the state of Michigan, we have many, many institutions of higher learning, great institutions. The ones that do come to mind though are, you know, Michigan State University and U of M when it comes to college athletics. So there have been conversations, I know, with members of the administration and the legislature here, and there are connections, obviously, with those universities and the NCAA. I would say, too, that, you know, it's kind of my view that there should be some kind of national policy that we need to find a solution for. And I think that is going to take our work that we're doing at the state level is certainly necessary. I think driving that conversation. But I think at the end of the day, the federal government and the NCAA have to come together as well and work together to find a national policy for this name, image, and likeness legislation.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions, because what if, and I mean, I'm just throwing a state out there because I don't know how each state is handling this, like a state like Texas decides not to pass anything like this. But then, you know, everybody else is kind of doing it, you know, how that would impact, you know, schools like A&M and Tech and obviously University of Texas themselves. So, eventually that is the goal, though, right?
Yes, I believe I think it should be the goal. I think everyone wants to move towards that direction. And if you look at, I know you mentioned Florida, their governor just signed the name, image, and likeness legislation into law. And I believe that begins, if I have the date correct, in 2021. So
right,
there is a short amount of time in order for this to, for something to take place, because you're right. I think a piecemeal approach probably won't be the best option. I think we want to have something that works for all states and works nationally.
Yeah, because if a school like Florida or Florida State, I mean, we could see Florida State bounce back in football really quick if they're able to pass this and, you know, nobody else is really hopping on board. I think one of the more interesting details, this really doesn't get talked about a lot, but this was one of my first thoughts when I started hearing about these bills last year. Obviously, schools have a different budget for athletics. You know, Michigan pours more money into their athletic department than Michigan State does, so I think we are kind of starting to see that change. Michigan State, obviously, more than IU, and then it goes down to mid-major, smaller schools, lower divisions. How does your bill impact the playing field in regards to, you know, is Michigan still going to have that advantage, or will they have even more of an advantage because they're able to dump more money into their programs and push some of that marketing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the legislation, we view this as an issue of fairness at the end of the day, where student athletes have the ability to leverage their position as a student athlete and be compensated outside of the realm of college athletics and the agreement that they've made with the university. So in terms of, I say that to say that the university in the legislation, it's not going to be a pay-to-play system is nothing of that sort. It's student athletes being able to enter into contracts outside of their university. So I use the example, I think Representative Biden used this example as well. So if you're a member of the marching band at a university, so you do that. You know, you go to games, you meet your obligations that way. But say on the weekend, you want to be playing a jazz band. at night and be compensated for that skill. You can do that. Student athletes really don't have that ability to do that. So I think there will be obviously some processes that the athletic departments have to put in order to make sure that there aren't any conflicts of interest between the student athlete and their contracts that they enter into with what's already set by that particular athletic department.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of like one of the more interesting things, because I thought this kind of evened the playing field more or less. If you could be a bench dog more or less at U of M, or you could be a star at Western Michigan, something like that, you have the ability now to make money off your likeness. You can go to, I'm looking at a Cassius Winston Paul I just got signed, so this is where the idea is coming from. You could go to a memorabilia shop and you can, sign your John Hancock for a couple bucks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like too many people were just like, oh, can't wait till the new college football video game comes out is their first reaction when they hear this. And it's like, there's a lot of other details that kind of go into this. Hold on a sec. I know my buddy, who he's unfortunately out today, he played at Western Michigan and was in a video game, and he said he would have loved that 17 cents he would have made off of it if this type of stuff were passing through. So, I don't think I told you what the name of our podcast was. It's called The Trouble with the Snap Podcast because we cover both schools. We feel like that's maybe the biggest moment in the history of this little rivalry. But I did not know this until last night, while I was doing research, you actually went to Michigan as well and got your master's there. So you can kind of give us a little bit more of a different perspective on this rivalry. Do you still have the same hatred for U of M still when it comes to the athletic department?
When it comes to, playing football at Michigan State, I think it's the rivalry, the competitiveness, and the relationship between MSU and U of M. I don't think that'll go away. I'll always be rooting for my Spartans when it comes to when they're playing U of M. I think I'll take that to the grave. But there's certainly a lot of respect being an alumnus of U of M as well, and just a lot of respect that I have for that institution and their athletic department. And I think at the end of the day, for me, when they're those teams, even though I want MSU to win, a competitive rivalry is really only is very good for the state of Michigan, I think. So I think I like to see both of them compete and be good teams, be great teams. But at the end of the day, I always want Michigan State to prevail when they play one another.
Yeah. In addition to obviously playing for state, I mentioned at the top of the show, you came back and you served as a graduate assistant under Ken Manning. And that's something that, with how quickly Mark D'Antonio's retirement came up and then the circus that kind of surrounded Luke Fickell and Mel Tucker for a little while. Me and my buddy, we never really had an opportunity to talk about Ken Manning and what he meant to this program. I could just scroll down my Facebook feed and see a billion people just talk about how great he was. But you serving under him, obviously you spent a little bit more time with him than a lot of the other players that do end up leaving, I think, with the exception of Lorenzo Guess. you know, just talk about his importance to the program and, you know, what Michigan State may be missing moving forward.
Yeah, that's a good, great question. Well, first off, I'm excited about Coach Tucker being at MSU. I've had a chance to speak with him a couple of times since his arrival, so I think he's going to be a great addition. And obviously him being here as a grad assistant, as a coach at Michigan State, is he understands, I think, the culture of MSU. In terms of Coach Manny, yeah, I mean, that's a hole, right? You know, Coach is you know, he's been there for a long time. I know over 20 years. I would have to see before he retired. 22, 23 years maybe. But he's, you know, he's what he's meant to the program has been, you know, you can't really put a value on it. But more so what he's meant to the players, I think. I mean, just kind of coming in as an 18-year-old, finding your way, becoming an adult, essentially, and Coach Manny there being able to push us every day, literally every day, and provide that, you know, that tough love. I think that's something that I appreciate the older I get, him investing time, not only in you know, at the end of the day, we want to win football games. That's what we're there for. We want to win. But also instilling life skills just around the adversity and getting the best out of all of us during our time in football. And so it's going to be it certainly is a hole left with Coach Manny. And it's also kind of funny, you know, being, you know, this is Father's Day weekend. I think we're approaching that. And just kind of what he has meant, again, to a lot of players, just kind of having that father figure role. I think that's, again, something that you really can't place a value on.
How much did that help you as you, you know, were enlisting into the Marines?
Quite a bit. It's and without going into much of the history, I can talk about it for a while, but, you know, football kind of emerged historically after, you know, in the late 19th century, the idea of men kind of proving themselves. And it was after, you know, the Civil War and or few other wars, and that's was kind of, in a way, not saying that it was necessarily appropriate, but, you know, how men prove themselves in a way. So you play this game. So that was helpful because I think those principles still stick into football, into American football. And obviously, you know, being mission driven, you know, focused on the team and focused on others, dealing with adversity when that comes up. So it was, I think it helped me just being a part of athletics to transition into the military because there's very similar principles. And kind of that team concept and working together and for mission accomplishment and taking care of one another.
Well, you know, we know you're busy and we appreciate the time that you're taking out of your schedule to sit down and, you know, break down the bill, kind of reflect on, you know, Ken Manny a little bit and his career, what he meant at Michigan State. You know, again, we really appreciate having you on. Thank you for your service to your country and what you continue to do for the state of Michigan. We look forward to, you know, following you and what all else you accomplish, because got quite the impressive resume already.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And no, thanks for inviting me on the show and allowing me to talk a little bit about the bill. And hopefully we'll have some football this fall. We'll see. Excited to see what the rest of the year, what happens.
All right. That was State Representative Joe Tate. Joe, thanks again.
Thanks. Take care, Tyler.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, that was really interesting because, you know, the NCAA, you know, they're eventually going to have to get off their butts, and especially as more and more states continue to pass this, and obviously we know where the bill in the state of Michigan goes and how this is going to impact them. And it is interesting, you know, that pay-for-play thing, that's still not on the table, and that's something that the NCAA needs to work out, and I don't know if this is going to necessarily go arm-in-arm with paid for your likeness, which, again, obviously would defer back to, you know, video games being able to, you know, go out, sign a couple autographs on weekends at memorabilia shops and things of those natures. Even what he said about the band I thought was really interesting based upon contractual obligation. And so this bill is going to be big. I think it's good. I mean, you think about it, though, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they already go to school for free. They get that free education. A lot of these players don't use free education. Let's be real. I know I graduated from a smaller university. I know I went to Michigan State, but I graduated from a smaller university, and I know a couple of guys who are making livings off of basketball still. And so you can imagine what some of these guys want to do overseas. You know, the college basketball players, obviously football is a little bit different. You know, Joe Tate, obviously one of the great exceptions to the rule in regards to his education and how he's using that. And, you know, again, we really appreciate him taking the time out of his schedule and speaking with us about the bill and, you know, what was a great career for Ken Manning. Obviously, Mel Tucker's got things going in the right direction. We still kind of need to wait and see. I think the combination of the timing and the coronavirus just made things really, really difficult for him. But he put together a pretty solid staff so far. I mean, I have an issue with maybe one or two hires that I'm not 100% comfortable with, but you know, just because they're not proven, though, doesn't mean, you know, they're not capable of doing that job. So, you know, obviously, like I said, we'll break things down. More stuff comes along, and we'll obviously keep an eye on this bill that State Representative Joe Tate is working on trying to get signed. Currently in the Senate, once it passes the Senate, needs to go to the governor's office and, well, like I said, Jeremy and I don't really talk politics on the show, and that's about as close as you're going to hear us get. But, yeah, a lot of great stuff to soak in from Mr. Tate. A lot of things that I think people are overlooking, people just aren't thinking about. They're just like, hey, players are finally going to be able to get paid. That's not necessarily the case quite yet, but the NCAA is working on that, and so you – at some point, you feel like these two entities need to link up in order to make it a great situation, obviously, for the student-athletes. Again, just thank you to Joe Tate. I am Tyler Hayward. This was the Trouble with the Snap podcast. We will be back, you know, at some point soon. Something's got to break at some point in regards to Tillman, Henry, and Isaiah Livers, and we'll break all that down and we're getting really close to sports opening back up, and we can't wait to have it and, you know, join you a lot more throughout the course of the coming months. And for Joe Tate, I am Tyler Hayward. This was the Trouble with the Snap podcast.